Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Work all night and a drink of rum.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and
First of all, I loved this song growing up, but then I loved it especially when it got implemented into Beetlejuice and is now probably one of the defining songs for people for Beetlejuice. So, oh man, happy Halloween. It's also happy 17th birthday to my youngest. I can't believe my youngest kid is almost an adult. Like, it's just
almost
can't wrap my brain around it, but okay, there you go. Also that he says he's too old to go trick-or-treating. Well, no, he actually... He's not going because he went to one of these trunker treat things the other day, and he feels like he got enough candy there, and he's going to spend grandma's gift money that you know on candy, so he's fine.
Aww. It sounds like it.
I don't know. It doesn't sound right. Well, by the way, the trunker treat thing, Channel 3 was kind of talking about this like it's a new thing. I mean,
no,
trunk or treat's been going on for years and years and years.
Yes.
It's not a new thing here, is it?
No.
Okay, all right. Maybe I misunderstood.
Church has been doing it for...
Yeah, churches have been doing trunk-or-treats for forever and harvest parties and all that kind of stuff. Oh, by the way, not only is it Halloween, happy Reformation Day to all who celebrate. John, is your church?
So
into,
that means we get to take the day off?
This is the anniversary of Martin Luther, you know, vandalizing the church store with his, you know, advertisement for the missing cat or 95 theses, whatever you want to say.
Well, I think that deserves a holiday, and I think we should be able to go home now.
508 years ago. You had the beginning of the Protestant Reformation.
Wow, this
day
so this
in history.
Is 508 time.
Yeah, that's right. all right, I was I've been telling you about this, and I just find it very entertaining, and you know I hope you do as well. But the Alfred E. Smith dinner had featured former two secretaries of state, Mike Pompeo. I shared those clips with you before. He was funny, and then Antony Blinken, who I never ever in my life would have thought of Antony Blinken as a stand-up comic, or as self-deprecating. And he wound up being both. It's an annual, ironically, here I am on Reformation Day playing clips from a Catholic charity dinner with jokes written and delivered by a Jew. I don't know. It's a very confusing time for us. Anyway, to understand this one, you got to understand that that Tony Blinken kind of came from the very privileged background, okay, which you'll understand in the clip. But that's what kind of makes sense of this. Here goes.
But truly, truly, it was an honor to serve. I have to tell you, I never imagined that someone like me could be Secretary of State. Just a scrappy kid from the Upper East Side who went to Dalton, to high school in Paris, to Harvard, to Columbia. I mean, what were the odds? Only in America.
It's a riches to riches story.
Now, I was also the first Secretary of State in modern history to do the job while my wife and I, Evan Ryan, raised young toddlers. So I heard a lot about ice cream, about fast cars, about choo-choo trains, and that was just being in the Oval Office with President Biden.
Oh, see, I like it when people make fun of their own.
Don't worry. I am not going to take any time talking about President Biden's accomplishments, just like the press. You know, when you're Secretary of State, some of your work is highly visible, like when I met with Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping. And some of it is seen by nobody, like Mike's memoirs.
The previous speaker had been Mike Pompeo.
I've got to tell you, I can relate. Years ago, I wrote a book titled Ally versus Ally, America, Europe, and the Siberian Pipeline Crisis. You can still find it on Amazon. It's listed under sleep aids. Now, truth be told, I got some nice notices. One reviewer said that it's the kind of book that, once put down, is impossible to pick up again.
I don't know if he wrote that or if that was actually a review from somebody, but that's fantastic.
I give Woody a hard time about the Jets, but the truth is, nobody started this season with as much excitement or spent as much, only to totally collapse at the end, as the Mets. Even Kamala Harris was like, that didn't go well. But I really don't want to get political. Because in truth, I am not a member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat.
So you have to understand a little bit of context for this next one is that they were honoring Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, and he's got a very young wife. Very, very young wife. So context matters. And they're in New York City. That's also going to be relevant.
I do want to recognize a couple of people who are not able to join us tonight. Bill Belichick hoped to be here, but he's actually at a different Catholic event. His girlfriend's confirmation.
Wow.
Mayor Adams, it is so good to see you on the dais. I've got to say, I was afraid you were going to drop out at the last minute.
Oh my goodness.
I know if you don't know all the surrounding context, it's not maybe, but, you know, Eric Adams and the mayor problems. Not right. Anyway. let's see.
Now, I'm very grateful to have my family with me this evening. My wife, Evan, grew up as a practicing Catholic. I grew up as a slightly less practicing Jew. So we decided to raise our kids with the central tenet shared by both traditions, unrelenting guilt and shame.
Now, he actually did finish with what I thought were actually quite interesting comments, substantial comments, which is normal for these things. Usually the keynote speaker at the Smith Dinner or the White House Correspondents' Dinner finishes with something really worth saying after the jokes. You know, you kind of say the jokes to get your way to the substantial stuff, and we'll get there in a second. But we'll finish that up momentarily. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
All right. If you're on Highway 90 over in East Milton by Red Brick Road, which Highway 90 is shut down between Ward Basin Road and Airport Road, so you definitely want to take a different route. It's going to be closed for a little while both directions, so just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays there. Let's see here. The rest of Highway 90. 29 is flowing smoothly along with 98. And that's all. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I had Barbara texted me in and says, I cannot ever hear that song without thinking of...
Beetlejuice. It's showtime.
Oh, yeah. She says, showtime. Thanks for the laugh. You're so welcome. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used vehicles, about 300. Cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, sports cars, pickups, you know, whatever, Jeeps, whatever you might be interested in. They've got some of them or a lot of them on the lot, and you can go sample a bunch of different things, a bunch of different makes and models, and, you know, not as much variety in terms of years because they really specialize in cars that are pretty young, you know, like 1 to 4, really 4 is kind of their outside for the most part, years, and they've got, you know, 10 of maybe 40 or 50,000 miles is kind of their sweet spot. Cars that are going to be dependable, they warranty all their cars to 10 years or 100,000 miles, that's included, you don't have to pay extra for that. So they'll take care of it. It's only good quality cars. But yeah, go drive a few. Go drive a couple of different things all in one place. Even drive something outside of your range, like kind of you're going to buy a minivan. Okay, fine. Try a truck. Try an SUV just for, you know, maybe just purely for the fun of it. And then you decide, man, that's why I don't want to buy one. Or, I don't know. Do I not want to buy one? You know, and that's the point. All in one place. Very easy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi. Back to the Alfred E. Smith dinner where former Secretary of State Tony Blinken gave what I thought were actually some fairly substantial comments toward the end.
While technology may accelerate disconnection and division, our challenge comes down to something very fundamental that we see both at home and around the world, something very human. The idea that someone you disagree with or have a profound difference with is not only your adversary, but also your enemy, and somehow not even human. Dehumanization is the most potent poison in our commonwealth. Once dehumanization sets in, everything bad becomes easier, everything good becomes harder. Hearts harden, cruelty becomes casual, and common ground recedes from reach. Until we find a way to pull back from that, we will have a massive problem. Never mind China. Never mind Russia, never mind Iran. This really is at the heart of what ails us.
It absolutely is. seeing the people you disagree with as people made in God's image, people that you're supposed to love and understand, and even if you think they're wrong, seek to see where they're coming from, all of that. I could not agree more. And the tendency is to take people who disagree with you and marginalize them, attack them, criticize them, and eventually treat them as subhuman or dehuman. And that is absolutely unacceptable. I mean, the whole premise of our system is that we come together and talk. Well, you don't talk to people who aren't worth your respect enough to talk to. You talk to people who deserve to be treated as equals, as citizens, as people made in the image of God, who you're obligated to persuade and interact with and listen to and have relationship with, even if you disagree with them. You're supposed to build those bonds with other people. And, you know, that's something that's just not present often enough in our system. Tony Blinken went on to say something which I think this proves the point of what you're supposed to do. Now, this is a very easy one because it was such a big win at the time, and it still is. But this was right after the hostage releases had taken place. This was, I mean, or either it had been negotiated or it had been taken place. I forget where it was exactly, but it was right in that vicinity. And so the former Secretary of State for Biden, okay, who had worked on this issue and could not get it solved. So think about this. This is a guy who looks failure in the face, and the next administration got done what he couldn't get done in Israel with Hamas and Gaza and the hostages, right?
And it's why, again, I'm so grateful for the recognition given to Robert Kraft, because he is helping to lead the fight against it. This week, after 2 years of almost unrelenting pain and loss, the Middle East offered the world a moment of hope with the return of loved ones and relief from want and from war. And I commend President Trump and his team for bringing us to this moment.
That's exactly right. Always give credit where it's due, especially to the people you disagree with or wouldn't normally want to give them credit.
So, yes, let us be warriors, happy warriors in that cause. Let us commit to do better and to demand better, not just from ourselves, but from all who lead us. I hope everyone had a great dinner tonight, because at the end of the evening, you'll all be getting one big, beautiful bill. Thank you very much.
It's not the best joke he told, but it's a good one. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you desire appreciation? Do you find yourself full of anxiety and frustration when you've served people humbly, yet it seems they've completely taken you for granted? Certainly, if you've served in such a way, people should be thankful and they should express their appreciation. However, it's unhealthy and unwise for any of us to crave appreciation from others. The fact is, people are generally consumers. They will often consume your service and move on to the next thing in their lives. The key is to serve others as unto the Lord. Do your service thoroughly and humbly, as if you're serving God Himself. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Man's approval and appreciation is way overrated. And frankly, God's approval is way undersought.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
All right, well, we're having some kind of weird issue with the computer. Is it not? It won't play over there, John? There we go. Okay, all right, let's try it again.
Are you the Keymaster?
What, you were going to play this one next, John?
I was, man. Because I was going to do it at 7:30, and I'm like...
All right, well, you know, so here we are.
So here we are.
Are you the Keymaster? 724, News Radio 92.3. We just rewatched that recently, and the first one really is quite good.
It is.
The other ones are also there. Let's see, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
That's a solid Ghostbusters review. I like that.
Yeah, thank you. That's all you need to say.
So FBI Director Kash Patel says a potential terror attack has been thwarted. He posted on X this morning. Patel said multiple suspects were arrested in Michigan that were allegedly plotting a violent attack over the Halloween weekend. Patel says more details will be released later today. Russia now says they're ready to test nuclear weapons after hearing President Trump announce this week that the U.S. would resume nuclear testing. A Kremlin spokesperson said on Thursday that recent tests of nuclear-powered drones didn't involve detonations, but if another country was resuming nuclear testing, Russia would do the same. And a new survey out suggesting about a third of all Americans believe in ghosts. The YouGov survey polled about 1,100 U.S. adults, asked them about their belief in the supernatural. It found 38% believe in ghosts, 43% believe in demons. Only 6% believed in werewolves or vampires.
Interesting. All right. Well, they're very different things to believe in, by the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, believing in some physical manifestation of the undead is one thing. Believing in, you know, supernatural forces is, I mean, biblical. Or at least being open to it, you know, certainly. So what you call them, you know, might differ about that. But that's kind of interesting. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Starting to see our normal congestion, construction delays in that area. And let's see here. Highway 90, right where Airport Road is, just east of Ward Basin. We have got a traffic accident that is Highway 90 completely shut down. So if you need to get to East Milton through the industrial complex or the sheriff's office, take I-10 and then take 87 up and you'll make it there in time. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We were talking earlier about how it's Reformation Day in addition to being Halloween. 508 years ago, Martin Luther posted his theses on the door of the Wittenberg church door. But it's also, there's actually several interesting things in history that happened today. This one I'm going to ask you, Mount Rushmore was completed this day in history. When? Take a guess, John. I did not know. Take a guess.
1930?
Oh, wow. That's really close. I mean, very close. 41. 1941.
Oh, I was just throwing out a number.
You were very close. So, what, a month and a half, not quite, 5 weeks before Pearl Harbor?
Wow.
That's, isn't that,
think about that.
Yeah. I mean, okay. But also this day in history, in World War II, in, this says 1941. That does not seem likely to me. But the German, the destroyer USS Reuben James, torpedoed by a German U-boat near Iceland, killing more than 100 U.S. Navy sailors. It was the first U.S. Navy vessel sunk by enemy action in World War II. But 1941 is what my notes say, and that doesn't seem like that would be right to me. But, okay, we'll come back and look. Also, the Enron chief financial executive officer, Andrew Fastow, indicted on 78 counts of wire fraud in 2002. And we hit 7 billion people in 2011. They call it the day of 7 billion. Oh, for
six,
the good
seven.
Old days. Yeah, 6-7 billion, that's right. Word of the year, that's so crazy. Which also made it into transgressors, by the way. What else do we have going on? There's a new world's tallest church. Did you see this?
No.
Yeah, there's a new tallest church in the whole wide world, and it just barely, by like 4 feet, surpassed the existing world's tallest church. Barcelona, or if you're supposed to say it the wrong way, Barcelona, Sagrada Familia Basilica. What? Say it with a lisp. It sounds authentic. Became the world's tallest church on Thursday after a part of its central tower was lifted into place. The masterwork of architect Antoni Gaudi. His name is Gaudi?
Gaudi?
Gaudi? It could be Gaudi.
Say it with a
what
lisp.
A Gaudi church. What a gaudy church. I mean, that's hilarious. G-A-U-D-I. Wrong spelling, same pronunciation. Now rises to 534 feet above. What? It's a whole collection of spires. Here, look at this. It looks like, I mean, it looks like something that Sauron would live in.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's wild. Okay. Barely beat the top of the spire of Germany's Ulmer Munster, which tops out at 530 feet, and it's still growing. They're building more on top of it. So, okay. I mean, that's just, you know, you didn't know.
I love your different accents. You do so good.
I don't know what's going on today. Meanwhile, Billie Eilish, you'd have heard of her. Billie Eilish decided to make fun of billionaires at an awards ceremony recently.
Love you all, but there's a few people in here that have a lot more money than me. And if you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire? No hate, but yeah, give your money away, shorties. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Okay, but if you're a millionaire, why give your money away?
Right.
I mean, if you're a thousandaire, why give your money away? I mean, you know, there are people in the world that would look at somebody like Billie Eilish and think, man, she's got a lot of money. She's, to them, a billionaire. And there's people in a lot of parts of the world that would look at, you know, the average American and think, you're super rich. Give your money away. Now, to her credit, she did give $11 million away for various causes. So, you know, she's sort of living it out. But, you know, how about all the rich do what they can when it makes sense?
I'm CJ Papa. It's not a meltdown yet, but air travel during the shutdown that reaches 31 days is dicey, prompting this response from one of the nation's largest carriers.
Delta Airlines implores Congress to immediately pass a clean continuing resolution to reopen the government so that our air traffic controllers, TSA, and CBP officers charged with the safety and efficiency of our national airspace can collect the paychecks they deserve.
Fox's Chandler Painter, Senators leaving Washington for the weekend, leaving some 42 million people worried about how to pay for groceries. Their SNAP benefits will dry up this weekend. Hurricane Melissa racing past Bermuda while in Jamaica.
I lose everything.
That woman is not alone. People are scrambling for basic supplies. Melissa ravaged the island. 185 mile per hour winds earlier this week. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got clear skies. It is 50 degrees in Pensacola this morning. The government shut down now on day 31. The impact on local services is becoming critical for many programs, including Head Start. Funding is at risk starting tomorrow. Many low-income families could lose access to essential services like daycare, meals, and health screenings for their kids. The National Head Start Association says if the shutdown continues, closures could affect thousands of children in Florida, compounding challenges for families already facing hardships. Santa Rosa County says their Head Start programs are currently secure, but the fate of programs in Escambia County is a little less certain. Republicans and Democrats have yet to compromise and reopen the government. U.S. senators will not reconvene until Monday. A cantonment man has been sentenced to life in prison for the sexual battery of a 5-year-old girl. 71-year-old Adrian Mark Enfinger was sentenced to three felony counts stemming from incidents that occurred between January and October of last year at his home. The investigation began after the Spanish Fort Police Department received reports of inappropriate contact between Enfinger and the victim. Witnesses reported seeing him alone in a bedroom with the child, who was not wearing underwear. Text messages from Enfinger acknowledged breaking the family's trust and expressed remorse, although attempted to downplay the severity of his actions. Officials say Enfinger confessed to touching the girl inappropriately under oath. Well, visit Pensacola's latest report showing an increase in tourism with 2.5 million visitors who spent more than $1.3 billion in our area. The report shows $22 million was collected in tourism development dollars for Escambia County. President and CEO Darren Schaefer says one challenge this year has been bringing larger events to the area. That's due to the limitations of the Pensacola Bay Center. Another area that Schaefer said was struggling was the Canadian tourism market. Forbes says the number of Canadians flying and driving into the U.S. has dropped considerably. Schaefer says Pensacola will continue marketing to Canadians. Well, today's the final day for VO scooters in downtown Pensacola. The city did not renew their contract with VO. They say they're going to look into other forms of multimodal transportation. The scooters will work today, then become inoperable. They'll be gathered up by VO over the weekend. Well, it is Halloween. Escambia County urging residents to celebrate, but safely. Parents are reminded to plan their trick-or-treating routes in well-lit neighborhoods and supervise kids under 12. They say it's also important to make sure your kids are wearing visible costumes and to use crosswalks when crossing streets. Also, after collecting candy, they say to make sure you check for any previously opened packages. 7:34, and let's get a quick check on our Channel 3 forecast.
Quite the chill to start your Friday morning with temperatures in the 30s and 40s here first thing. But as we go into the afternoon, those temperatures will climb into those upper 60s. Lots of sunshine in store going into tonight, dropping into the 50s. And then back in the upper 60s and low 70s to start the weekend with lots of sunshine. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Morning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marion. 7:35 now. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the earlier accident that happened on Highway 90. Over in East Milton. It's basically shut down right now, so if you're trying to get into the East Milton Industrial Complex, you definitely want to take I-10 to 87, and then you can get in that way. But it's closed down for a while now. So let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing our typical construction congestion delays there. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. We've got 47 degrees, clear skies. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are slightly lower as investors assess the U.S. and China trade truce. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $60.42 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $64.80 per barrel. NASA said SpaceX and Blue Origin have both submitted simplified plans to return U.S. astronauts to the moon before China can complete its manned lunar mission by 2030. NASA acting administrator previously criticized SpaceX for delays around its Artemis 3 mission and said he would open the contracts up to competitors. An October report from Consumer Affairs compared all 50 states to determine which ranks as the best location to raise a family. States were analyzed according to affordability, safety, healthcare, and more. New Hampshire is ranked as the best state to raise a family. In second is Maine, and in third is Wisconsin. Futures are moderately higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 109, the NASDAQ down 377. That's Your Money Now.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a one-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed. Stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stories.
The city appears to be ready to
engaging podcasts and various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
How you doing with this music?
You know, I was going to play Let's Name That Tune with you.
All right. All right. Well, my guess on here was it's not Halloween. Is it Friday the 13th? Is it
Friday the 13th? Okay. Jason's right. Theme.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Speaking of the Escambia County School Board. I don't know how to make this pivot, but I was going to talk about a recent conversation they had from the audience about the book review policy, which has now changed again a little bit. I actually think the change is probably good, but public forum, very animated about this. Linda Fussell. John, put my computer on, please.
97% of book bans aren't required by law. They happen because of fear. Fear of losing funding, fear of political backlash, fear of standing up for students' rights to read. This is what censorship looks like today. Self-silencing, not statutes. When educators and librarians are intimidated into removing books just to be safe, it erases stories, stifles learning, and betrays the very purpose of education. This is what is being done in supporting these policies.
And there's some truth to that, right? It's the chilling effect of speech restrictions. When people are not quite sure where the line is, then they tend to err on the safe side of it for fear of running afoul of it, and you wind up getting a constricting of the sharing of ideas. That is always a challenge whenever you have any restriction on free speech. But then again, you have legitimate things that need to be prohibited, right? Especially for access to kids. Leanne Eubanks.
I'm Leanne Eubanks. I'm a social studies teacher in the district. I'm here to speak to item 7A and 7B on the agenda and ask the school board to vote no to these two policies. If the school board wants to go ahead with these policies, there needs to be a lot more study and clarification. As far as the getting rid of the review committees, Parental Bill of Rights says that parents have a right to make choices for their own students. That doesn't mean they have a right to take choices for other people's students and children.
Well, there's a truth in that, and there's also not a truth in that. And the truth in that is, yes, each parent does have the primary responsibility for kids. But as soon as kids or anybody is into a communal environment, there are concerns that are different from when you're operating all on your own inside your own home. And so, you know, regulation of the community or regulation of the children's community is always a challenge. It's why I've always said that the basic problem you have with school is that school is fundamentally a values proposition. Like, education is all about values. It's all about religion. It's about faith. It's about ethics. It's about politics, even if we don't want it to be. And so when people are brought together into one place and they interact with each other and there are rules for their conduct, there's going to be disagreement over that. It is a fundamentally conflict-based environment unless you have a culture that's so homogenous that nobody disagrees with anybody about anything. Well, we are a country built on non-homogeneity, right? We're built on variety. And so when a variety of viewpoints and cultures and experiences, and certainly we have all of that, come into one place or their kids come into one place, there's going to be fights. That's the nature of the thing. And there's going to be fights over books. There's going to be fights over what people can wear and what they're supposed to say. And that's one of my reasons why I think that the very idea of public education is really perilous in its beginning because of that, especially when you try to force everybody together and then tell them to obey one way of doing things. That's a problem. To get away from that, the idea that you could somehow have a safe space where everybody's happy, it's impossible because of the nature of the thing at its core. Lindsay Dershowitz.
Advanced Placement Literature Exam. This is an exam designed to test students' abilities to analyze and interpret literature, engage with complex themes, and understand diverse perspectives. It's an exam that not only evaluates a student's proficiency in reading and writing, but also challenges them to think critically about the world around them.
That's right. And in preparation for the AP, or in taking any good English class, you're going to read a lot of things that you don't like. You're going to read a lot of things that are boring. You're going to read a lot of things that are stimulating and provocative and challenging, and that's the purpose of literature, especially at the high school level.
The curriculum for the AP Literature includes a rich array of texts, novels, plays, poems that span different time periods, cultures, and ideologies. The College Board, which administers AP exams, has stated that AP courses must remain faithful to the principles of college-level work and that censorship violates the course framework. However, our school district has removed books that frequently appear on these lists based on new state laws. As it has been stated many times, this has led to multiple lawsuits and hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars. That's not to mention that these rulings will be appealed and continue to cost the district more money. You can argue that you have the power to control which ideas are on the shelf, but this ignores professional expertise and the reading interests of our students.
And I think in Escambia County, I think that number is approaching $1 million over the various lawsuits that has been spent over all of this. And, you know, we've got these ongoing cases at the levels of appeals with the Escambia County School Board and their requirement to testify or not on their intention or not. I mean, like, all of this stuff has been not only time-consuming and, you know, fractious, but also very, very, very expensive in the process. So what were the actual policies they were looking at? What did they do? We'll come back to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on Beverly Parkway or Brent Lane approaching Old Palafox, we've got traffic backed up in all directions there, so just be aware of that. That's about a 12 to 15-minute delay just at that intersection. I-10 is looking good. If you're over in East Milton, right around the airport road, it is completely closed. Now on the westbound side, the eastbound side is open, so just be aware of that. If you're trying to get to the East Milton Industrial Complex or even the sheriff's office, take I-10 to 87. And you'll get there a lot quicker. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need to or are thinking about selling a home, I mean, it could be either way. Like, you could just be considering the idea of buying or selling. Give Christina Leavenworth a call. Find out early what's the parameters and get some good information before you make a decision. Or at the other end of the spectrum, maybe you've made a decision. In fact, maybe you've had another realtor or two or three or four or five. I kid you not. She was telling me just the other day they had a couple of clients recently that have had multiple, up to five different realtors and not sold the home. My goodness, how I just can't imagine. You'd be seething. it gets to be hopeless. You feel like you can't. Well, you know, the market was very easy a couple of years ago. The market's not as easy today, but they brought their business to her and she got their home sold. No big deal, because they know what they're doing, selling three to four homes every single week. They understand the market. They understand how to make it happen. And she's all big on setting realistic expectations. You know, she can't do the impossible, but she'll do the hard. Because they're really good at making things happen. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. All right, back to the school board policy. So what was the actual policy? There are actually two that they were looking at, Section 2520 and Section 2522. I'll tell you in advance, both of which passed unanimously by the board. And basically the first one, selection and adoption of instructional materials, makes classroom libraries subject to the materials policy for the regular library. That means that, you know, like in an English class somewhere or in a fifth grade class somewhere, you know, teachers bring in books. Incredibly normal. What this policy does is it kind of officially puts those libraries, those teacher libraries, under the broad policy of the school district when it comes to content. And that means no sexually explicit content. And if it's on the removed list, and by the way, the removed list is going to be defined by what anybody in the state of Florida has objected to. I think that's a mistake, but more on that in a moment. Okay, we'll come back, because it's not as bad a mistake as I thought, frankly. Materials experts can review and decide whether to seek reinstatement of materials. So they can be brought back in with school board permission. So if you think a book should be in your classroom library, that you can ask for it, and that can happen. AP and IB materials are protected by the rule. They do still require parental permission. If they're on the banned list, but they're, you know, AP materials, you can still get them, but parental consent. That's kind of the idea. That's a It's a balance. I don't love that rule because I tend to think that if it's on the AP list and if it's in a high school, then, you know, it should be allowed. But I get that they're concerned about some of those books even have pretty excessive content. And I agree. Remember, I told you about the Bluest Eye, which I think is an atrocious book. I have read it, and I do not support it in any way. But, you know, I think that's one of these, you know, because it's written by a famous author. Anyway, the media specialist consults with the Department of Education website to see whether a title's been removed anywhere. And then books which have been removed by other districts cannot be selected unless specific approval is requested. So it's an opt-in system on the ban list. And there's several hundred books on this list. And then, you know, you also have to consider things like explicit or gratuitous descriptions or depictions of sexual activity, glorification of violence, self-harm or suicide, and profanity with limitations based on grade level. None elementary, limited middle school, and not be excessive or overly gratuitous in high school. That's the policy 2520. Okay. It's not the best policy in the world, but given the current legal environment, especially in the state of Florida, I think the policy probably makes sense. I chafe at all censorship. As a guy who read a lot of books that probably I wouldn't, and no, I wouldn't let my kids read, okay? I've seen a lot of TV I didn't let them watch. I've read a lot of books, you know, and I turned out the way I turned out. Maybe good, maybe not. I don't know. There's questions, open-ended questions. So that's one. They voted yes on that. 2522 was how to resolve challenges, and the general idea here is that if you object to a removal or if you think there should be a removal, it goes to the superintendent in consultation with the coordinator of media services, so the chief librarian. So they look at the book, and then they will maybe weed it out or deselect it due to lack of circulation, retain it at certain grade levels, restrict it at certain grade levels, refer it for further staff review, or remove it altogether. It really goes away from having this sort of never-ending, everybody has to read the book and then form the policy and have these boards and whatever, and puts it a lot more in the centralized control of the superintendent and the coordinator of media services to streamline the system and, you know, cut down the cost. Again, I get the value of having everybody look at it, but I just don't think if you look at Escambia County's experience, that hasn't worked well for us. In theory, maybe it's better, but in practice, it's been a nightmare. I mean, it really has. And this strikes me as a more sensible approach. And maybe in a couple of years we discover that this approach doesn't work either. We need to come with something else. The takeaway, so they passed both of these unanimously. The takeaway for me, the thing that I thought was fascinating, is I was curious, well, what books are on the list? So I went and looked up the list. And the list is not updated to this year, but to 2023, 2024. This is a list of all the books in the state of Florida that various school boards have removed, school districts have removed. And there's a lot of books on this list. And there's a lot of books dealing with LGBTQ issues, sex stuff, you know, coming of age, things that I can understand why, because of their sexual content, they would either be restricted or banned. Within the school. I understand. Within the school libraries. I understand that. I was frankly coming to this list thinking I would find all kinds of things that would make me angry. Like, I read that book. My God, you banned that. Oh, my God. You know, like, that's what I expected. I didn't really have that experience. Now, I will tell you, a lot of the books that are on these lists, I didn't know. And so maybe if I were more into reading modern edgy fiction these days, maybe I'd be more familiar with a lot of these titles. So I don't feel like I'm the best expert to say whether this list is overly inclusive or not. I'm just telling you that I expected to find, oh my God, oh my, I thought that'd be my reaction. It was not my reaction. I'll tell you some of the examples of books you might know that are on the list, at least. They were banned somewhere, therefore they're now banned in Escambia. In the library, okay? George Martin's Game of Thrones. I've read the one book. It's pretty explicit in parts, okay? Certainly the TV show was. Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. Let's see. Maya Angelou, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Peter Benchley, Jaws. Kurt Vonnegut, Slaughterhouse-Five. That's one that always shows up on the, you know, and I've read a lot of Vonnegut. I just haven't read Slaughterhouse-Five. It's about the firebombing of Dresden, so I can't speak to it specifically. That's probably the one of the higher profile, why is it on this list, objections. Toni Morrison, Song of Solomon, Bluest Eye, Tar Baby, and Beloved. Alice Walker's The Color Purple, and Ayn Rand, The Fountainhead. For the life of me, I don't know why The Fountainhead is on the banned list. I don't understand that. And the other one that would catch your attention is pretty much everything Stephen King has ever written is on this list. Carrie, It, The Stand, Wastelands, Bag of Bones, Billy Summers, Christine, Cujo, Firestarter, Insomnia, Needful Things, Misery, Pet Cemetery, Dead Zone, Green Mile, Salem's Lot, Shining, Thinner, and a memoir on the craft titled On Writing. I don't know why they would ban a nonfiction book about writing from Stephen King unless it has, you know, juicy elements in it. They just don't like Stephen King for some reason, which I think is weird because a lot of kids, you know, get hooked on reading by reading fiction that the parents might not love the content of, whether it's Harry Potter or, you know, I read Lloyd Alexander back in the day, and I read, Centaur Isle by, trying to remember who wrote that. It was a whole series of Spell for Chameleon that was one of my, Piers Anthony, was one of my favorite authors back in the day. Stuff in there you shouldn't read. Or even like the Mac Bolan Executioner books. So I read voraciously as a kid. And so I don't love book bans in general. I get why they exist in some cases. Here's my takeaway. I think this list prohibits things it shouldn't prohibit, but not very many. In the grand scheme of all the books that are out there and available, this is a pretty permissive list. My read, my view of it. So that's your kind of takeaway overall from the subject. 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What'd you dream?
I dreamed about a guy in a dirty red and green sweater.
What about the fingernails?
Oh, he scraped his fingernails along things. Actually, they were more like finger knives or something, something he'd made himself.
What if Mike Myers had been wearing Freddy Fingers? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. Boy. John?
All right. If you're on Highway 90 in East Milton, between Airport Road and it looks like it stretches now all the way to just east of Ward Basin Road, Highway 90 in both directions is shut down at that area for, it's going to be a little while. So you definitely want to take I-10. If you need to get to the sheriff's office or the industrial complex over there in East Milton, take I-10 to 87 and you should be good to go. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the U.S. government has now been shut down for just about a full month. The Senate adjourned yesterday without passing a funding resolution and will not be meeting again until Monday. SNAP benefits set to expire tomorrow.
Yeah, but there's a judge that's supposed to issue a ruling today also, I think, on whether that can be thwarted or not. So a lot of things are kind of in the air. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Federal prosecutors started making their case yesterday in the trial over the use of National Guard troops in Portland. An official with the Federal Protective Service disagreed with President Trump's statements that Portland was on fire and said during the first No Kings protest in June, the ICE building was heavily damaged and the officers were prepared to use force. He said they do not expect Portland police to help federal officers. That trial is expected to end later today. Well, today, of course, Halloween, horror movies, the big thing this time of year. An analyst website, Just Watch, has a list of the most streamed movies this time of year. The top of the list is The Substance, starring Demi Moore. Also on the list this year, Talk to Me, 28 Days Later, Long Legs, The Menu, Sinners, Late Night with the Devil, Nope, and Pearl.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. A couple of texts came in, 437-1620. I read Stephen King's It at age 10, front to back, because I got tired of my siblings skipping over the juicy parts when they read the book to me, read his books to me. I could already read, of course. That was the longest book so far and probably to this day. Somebody says, Xanth. Oh, that's the Piers Anthony series. Was the best series I read when I was a kid. I haven't thought about that in a long time. No, it is fantastic writing and excellent fantasy literature. Somebody said, The Color Purple. Why? My 7-year-old son, somebody says, grandson, is reading on a high school level, and I would not want him to have access to most of the books on the added in list. And somebody says, I don't understand why people are so worried about what kids are reading in school. We should be happy they're reading. We have enough kids that can't pass the reading test to graduate. When we used to go to the library at school, they would tell us to pick up a book and read it. I will say this. There are some books that if only you knew what was in them, you would not say it's okay. But there are also a lot of books that have sort of marginal content that, I mean, if it gets a kid reading, get a kid reading. I am a fan of that approach. Listen.